So it's great to be here on Radio Naturopath today. How are you today, Ron?
I am wonderful, Fran. How are you today?
That's good. Yeah, I'm pretty good. Yeah, had a pretty
good, just pretty good.
Yeah.
That's all you get?
That's all I get.
Yeah, okay.
Not for about a year at least.
That's all I get. I know. I understand.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah, or maybe four. So, anyway.
Could be four.
Yeah. At the risk of annoying people who are against what I'm about to say, I'm going to talk about it a little bit just because it's historic. I was pleased and honored to be part of a worldwide movement this weekend.
Yes, you were.
I put on my pink hat and I went to Hartford with a bunch of friends, with 10,000 of my closest friends.
With a lot of other pink hats.
Yes, with a lot of other pink hats.
There are many.
It was very exciting.
You know, it's cool to see people just get out and be able to, you know, we live in a wonderful country where you can actually do this.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
And the thing is, people, one of the things that's hurled at us is accept that Trump is our president now, get over it and move on. And I accept factually that Donald Trump is the president of the United States. That's not in dispute. He was elected. He was elected by the Electoral College, not by the popular vote, but by the Electoral College. He then went through all the proper procedures. He was sworn in. He was inaugurated. And that he is now the president of the United States. I completely accept that. There's no disputing that. What does move on mean? Shut up about my ideals?
Not in this country.
No, ain't going to happen. So the thing is, I mean, when W was president and he had a lot of policies I didn't agree with, we spoke up about that too. Years ago, in the 80s, when there were presidents there who had policies I didn't agree with, we marched about that too. People ask the question, what's the point of marching? What's that going to accomplish? So the very asking of the question is kind of condescending. Because when you ask the question, you're saying, you're questioning whether there's a point to marching. And I'm here to say that there is a point to marching. Is there a point to millions of people all over the world in big and small cities everywhere marching? I think there's a point to that. There's a lot of people who are feeling the same way. So maybe part of why that question is being asked is because there's concern that all those people feel that way. And what exactly are those people feeling? Well, what people are marching for, what does a march accomplish? Because you could say that getting together for a march doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't effect change. But I don't agree with that, because when you go on that day, you are gathering. And when you gather, you see people and you get strength from one another and you talk to each other and you get ideas from one another and you give a good physical and visual as to how people are feeling. And it's a strong, strong message to send to the administration. Now, it's very interesting since Mr. Trump took the became inaugurated, his Twitter feed has kind of calmed down. He's still saying some things that are controversial.
Been suppressed.
But he hasn't been as outrageous as he was before he became inaugurated. And I think, you know, that he's being handled. I'm assuming that that's what's going on. But given his thin-skinned nature, the fact that so many people were demonstrating must be driving him nuts.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, the fact that he's being handled must be driving him nuts.
Sure.
Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole idea that he is, you know, that they're controlling his Twitter account. And, you know, I mean, we don't know this for a fact, but it appears that they've come, that they've simmered down a lot. They don't appear to be 3 a.m. tweets anymore.
That's right.
Like there were in the past. So right. I think that they've filtered him. And that in itself, for someone who doesn't like to be filtered, is probably driving him nuts.
Right. Well, and also, to be fair, the president is always handled to an extent. It's not like he's the only
of
one
course.
Who's ever handled. I mean,
they're
Obama
all handled.
Was handled. They're all handled.
Absolutely.
There are certain things there's serious protocol around the president of the United States, even to the effect of, when you have Secret Service, you have to deal with Secret Service. You can't, you know, be away from Secret Service. And so you go to the bathroom, Secret Service comes with you. You have sex, Secret Service comes with you. That's how it goes. That's the way it is. Too bad. So in that sense. But the thing is, this people are saying, why are you so angry? Why are you being a crybaby? Why are you being a snowflake? So
snowflake?
The thing is, do you understand what the term snowflake means?
I don't know if I do.
Okay, so snowflake is an insult that's being hurled mostly by the right towards the left. A snowflake is someone who is very emotional and melts easily. Get it?
I guess so.
Yes.
Yeah, seems
that's what
lame,
a snowflake is.
Right.
It's a very fine, delicate thing that melts easily. That's a snowflake. All right. So anyway, when I went
it's
to
also
this,
a beautiful thing, and none is exactly the same.
Yeah, that is true. But that's not how they're using it.
Well, I'm interpreting it in a different way.
So anyway, you know, I've had some hard stuff go on in my life in the last number of months, and, you know, it hasn't been an easy time lately for me, as you know, and I just couldn't put it together to get myself to Washington, and then I also contracted a cold with a cough, and I'm really glad I didn't go to Washington, because I might be looking at pneumonia now, I don't know, but as it was, I was able to cancel my day on Saturday, except for the march on Hartford, and whereas people who marched on Washington in much bigger cities had to deal with getting there, parking somewhere, walking distances, and being miles away from where the rally was taking place, in Hartford, you didn't have to deal, even though there were 10,000 strong in Hartford. It wasn't like that. We parked at a health services building off of Garden, off of Spring Street. You know where that is? Garden is that street we come in when we go to the XL Center. That's off Asylum. So we parked off of Garden and on Spring and at this building, and then we had a nice little walk. It was probably maybe less than half a mile walk to the Capitol from there. Very, very easy. It wasn't crowded. And, you know, the big lawn in front of the Capitol was not packed all the way to the bottom, but there were lots and lots of people in front of the Capitol. Like when you saw, you know, the view from the Capitol itself, there were a lot of people. There were 10,000 people there, which is not small. And so we nosed our way into the crowd, and we came a little bit more forward. Beth and I are kind of vertically challenged, so it was nice to get more, and Ellie as well. We were all kind of vertically challenged, so we wanted to nose our way forward and see a little bit more. It was, and the thing was, the joy, there was no screaming, there was no anger, there was no violence. There was a lot of joy. I mean, people were really happy to be there. Dan Malloy was there. Say what you will about Dan Malloy and his public policies, and I understand that there are many. Dan Malloy was there. He was speaking. He made Saturday the National Women's March on Washington Day. He made a Connecticut proclamation, and it said some lovely things in the Connecticut proclamation. You know, things about we support people and their ability to have their rights, to express themselves, LGBTQT, to gather, to peacefully assemble, to speak their minds, it was really something. It was really something. One of the, whatever you think about Daniel Malloy, this is one of his finer moments. And he was there speaking, so was the mayor of Hartford, so was the state senator. And then there was all the signs, all the cool signs.
Yeah, well, I'm a Daniel Malloy fan anyway, but I always have been. He's a pro alternative transportation,
right?
Guy. So he fits right in my book. You know, he's all right.
All right.
And I know there's a lot of other people that aren't real happy with him, but you know what?
About the way he manages state funds.
Well, he inherited something I can't say on the radio.
Okay.
So you know, I mean, it's like, when you're in public office and you step into, you know, the debris from what someone has left before you, it's tough to, and you have to lay claim on it. It's your game now. You know, it's on your watch now, and so now you have to take care of it. And he was kind of given a somewhat impossible task. Excuse me. So, anyway, you know, he's got a tough spot.
Yeah, I suppose. So one of the things about this administration is, true to form, The new president is trying to enact a lot of his campaign promises, and he's got a lot of stuff done in the last few days in terms of executive orders. So if you look at what he's about to do, he's really going to come through on things that he said he was going to do. Anyway, it's very interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see what policies come through. They're going to try and repeal and replace Obamacare.
Everything.
Yeah, I know.
Everything. And you know, I mean, as difficult as that may be, or seemingly easy if you have a pen in hand and just are signing off on this, it really can't be done that easily. So it's going to take time. And the people who have insurance are still going to have insurance. It's
for a while anyway.
You know, there has to be a replacement. You know, it can't go without a replacement.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've been following it to a certain degree because, you know, it's obviously fairly important.
I have learned in these times to hope for the best and expect the worst, because anything can happen. I have no faith in the most wonderful things that I hope for occurring. I like I said, I hope for the best and I'm prepared for the worst. And the worst could happen.
Anything can happen.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not, you know how people say it's going to be okay? I don't 100% believe that.
Yeah.
It might be okay. It might be sort of okay. It might be really terrible. I'm very concerned about the mental state of this president, that because of his thin-skinnedness and his narcissistic tendencies, I am scared that he has his hand on the nuclear button, and if somebody makes him angry enough, he'll use it. I just don't know.
Yeah, I kind of want to be a half glass half full guy on this one.
I hope so.
I just think because of the way that things are laid out within our political system that he can't push any buttons like that without an awful lot of. There's a lot of fail safes behind that.
Are there?
Yes, there are.
Okay, if you say so. In the end, he's the only one who has the codes, and he's the one who makes the final decision.
But it has to go through approval before he can get there. So I think you worry a lot about this.
Yeah. Yes.
I know you do, and I understand that, and you have every right to.
Right, and I'm the only one who worries about that. Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm just me. Nobody else is worried about him about that particular item.
No, I would say there were at least a few million or more people that, or maybe tens of millions of people that were out talking and marching for it.
All
over the world that were very concerned about it, yes.
About that and many other things. But, I mean, it's not so much. I mean, people say that we don't accept that he's our president. I accept that he's our president. He is. He, in fact, is. He ran. The Electoral College elected him. He took the oath of office. He's the president. President Trump. There, I said it.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, but that's the fact. But the reason for people marching is to gather, and I know that there were a lot of signs that were anti-Trump, but that is the general feeling of the people marching. But it's not as much about being anti-Trump as it is about being pro all those rights. I mean, healthcare is a right, the right to express yourself in terms of your gender, the right to have equal pay regardless of gender, the right to not be seen as a race or a class, and to have equal rights regardless of who you are, what you believe, what your race is. Those are all really important. The right for children to have a future, the right to have a planet that's healthy. These are all things that people are concerned about. And so when you gather at these events, it creates hope, it creates inspiration, and it creates momentum. That's what it does. And then after you're done, people ask, so, okay, you march, now what? Well, there is a now what. There are some things you can do. You can look online. If you go to the Women's March on Facebook, they give you action steps, and there's little things you can do every day. And Michael Moore talks about that too. Little things you can do every day.
It's what you do after that's more important.
Writing postcards too. So if you didn't go and you wanted to go, say you were sick or you couldn't make it there or you had something else going on, or even though you are very concerned about what's going on politically, but you couldn't, for ideologically, for whatever reason, you couldn't go to the march. It's okay. You don't have to go. You didn't have to go to the march. There's lots of things you can do. And the most important thing to do is what you can do at your community level, helping your community be a better place.
And that's the big thing. Getting involved in your community is probably more important than any of this on the national level right
yeah.
now. You know, you really need to, you know, take a look at your local community, get involved in it, find out what you can do to help make a difference and
right.
make things better in your community. And that's always the best way to go.
Right. Start at home.
Start at home.
Right.
Absolutely. And the fact is, and what the good part, you know, I'm gonna wave a flag of approval for our new president. And the flag of approval is, boy, did he get people out in masses. and that's the thing. People are taking action right now.
That's the silver lining to this.
That is the silver lining. So say what you will about him. You know, there's people who love him. There's people who hate him. I'm not going to go there right now. I think my views are similar to yours. But the fact is people are out in the streets.
Yes.
Remember the movie Network?
Yes.
Remember what the reporter said when he was screaming out the window at Network?
I'm mad and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah. I'm mad as and not going to take it anymore. I don't know if we can say that during the day.
I'm mad as heck and I'm not going
right,
to take
okay,
it anymore.
Right, okay, we can do that.
Yes.
And you know, and that's really what this has created. This has created, you know, it's almost like a lifeblood has been, you know, a heartbeat has come out from it. So look at it from a positive side. Look at it as, wow, look at what we're going to do. This is great. This is going to happen.
That's the silver lining.
And
it's
take
true.
A look at policies that are being made. And as much as you may oppose some of the things that are going on environmentally and all, but look at it as, okay, now what do we have to do to, you know, protect ourselves and protect others?
This is the other thing. There was a division in the left. There were a lot of Bernie supporters and there were a lot of Hillary supporters. And then there were the libertarians and the people who supported Jill Stein, the Green
mm-hmm.
Party.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty much all on the same side. Now, maybe not the libertarians, but all the others, they're united now. If you were Hillary versus a Bernie supporter, you were at the march.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're back together again.
Absolutely. You know, and you know, I have said it before. I'll say it again. The Democratic National Committee and the Republican National Committees are both in a place right now where they really need to reevaluate themselves and redefine themselves as to who they are, because they have completely lost the grip of politics in this country. And they did it by making old mistakes over and over again. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, wake up out there. If you're a member of the DNC or the RNC, wake up. You both are at fault for what's happening right now.
Yeah. And so to have a healthy country, you have to have healthy people and you have to have health care in place. And one more thing that I wanted to point out is with this idea of defunding Planned Parenthood and making it so that federal funds don't cover abortions. Well, they don't anyway. But he's got the Mexico rule where you can't fund abortions over, America can't fund abortions overseas.
Right.
And so defunding Planned Parenthood, we have to remind you that abortions are a very small percentage of what Planned Parenthood does. Planned Parenthood does reproductive care for women and men. You can go and have an exam there if you're a guy.
Yeah, you sure can.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. you can have, you know, life-saving exams. You can have breast exams. They can order mammograms for you. They do pap smears. They do, you know, women's wellness care. They do STD testing, and they provide you with contraception. Usually they have free condoms there that you can
right.
grab, and they have low-cost other kinds of contraception and many options, you know, chemical contraception, whether you want to get fitted for an IUD or a diaphragm or a cervical cap, or if you want to, even if you are using a diaphragm and you want to buy contraceptive jelly, you can buy that there. So all of your options, and they're very good about spelling out all of your options to you. And so one of the things, if you're against abortion, one of the nice things is you can get contraception there. So
That's
people
right.
who don't want to get pregnant have tools to do that, and they are accessible to people who are lower income. So it's a really great organization that way. Defunding them is hurtful.
And guys, free condoms. Got that? Free? Yeah. No excuse. No excuse now. Right. No excuse.
Sure. No,
don't want to hear it. Don't want to know it.
Yeah.
Free.
It's really...
And you know, and they're probably, I mean, I would love to see the stats, and that may be something that we should talk about for a future show, is to get someone on from that organization that could talk about the stats and where they have gone since the since, you know, Planned Parenthood came in. Is, are we sexually more healthy than we used to be?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I'm going to move on now, and I'm going to talk about vinegar for a moment. Yay, vinegar. So some of you are fans of organic apple cider vinegar, and organic apple cider vinegar has health benefits, as those of you who use it know. It's best to get organic apple cider vinegar that is still fermenting, so it has the mother in it, the mother being the probiotics, the wonderful compounds that are in the vinegar. So your apples, when you make your vinegar, they have living on them some nice... they have some really nice probiotics on them that can ferment your apples. And among them is Saccharomyces boulardii. Among them is a couple other bacteria. And they make this nice vinegar for you. Organic apple cider vinegar has flavonoids in it, so it does have antioxidant effects. There are some effects, like there are studies where people consume apple cider vinegar before meals, and it helps to regulate their blood sugar and hemoglobin A1C. So, an apple cider vinegar, because it is acidic, it can help to reduce heartburn, and it's a heartburn remedy immediately. Like if you have heartburn, you can help your heartburn right away, because what happens is you'll get heartburn if the pH in your stomach is too high. If there's not enough acid in your stomach, the sphincter that closes off your stomach doesn't close all the way. And so anything that's in your stomach can back up against that sphincter and come out and give you reflux and heartburn. So if you put more acid into your stomach, believe it or not, your stomach will look at that and go, oh, more acid, clamp. So it'll clamp down on that lower esophageal sphincter, and it will make it so that you're no longer getting the reflux, so it can help your heartburn. That's part of the way that it works. And it probably also has an effect of regulating the microorganisms, because it is antimicrobial. Vinegar is antimicrobial. So organic apple cider vinegar can be very healthful. You can then amp up your apple cider vinegar. So I have a friend, Dan from Lebanon, who tried to make some apple cider vinegar. He tried to make some apple cider and turn it into vinegar. And he's going to give me some, and I can't wait, because I am going to turn it into fire cider. So fire cider is a little bit controversial, because there is a company that took the name and copyrighted it. And it's an old nature cure for a lot of herbalists. So a lot of herbalists like to still use that name. So they'll call it winter tonic or dragon fire, or some will still use the term fire cider. But anyway, what it basically is you take apple cider vinegar and you create a vinegar compound where you put it in a jar, and with it you put various spicy things, and the recipe can vary depending on who's making it, but you put spicy stuff in. You put in cayenne pepper. You can put in other kinds of peppers. If you want to do habanero, chipotle, you could do that too. But cayenne pepper and horseradish and garlic and usually you can put in turmeric as well. And then you might put some fruit in it, and like oranges and lemons, maybe a bit of honey. And so you just get a jar and you cover it in all those items in apple cider vinegar, and onion, I should say, too, garlic and onion both. And you cover it and seal it well and let it sit for 2 weeks. And then the vinegar is going to take on all the properties of all those compounds. And then you can take out the solid stuff after 2 weeks and strain it. And now you have this lovely fire tonic, and it's very spicy and peppery. I think it's delicious. I love it. And I am able to just take it straight in my mouth and take a spoonful of it and just eat it. But the other way that I use it is I use oil, And then I put it on my salad. Salad is a salad dressing, and it's so delicious. And it's a wonderful winter tonic because it's warming, it's antimicrobial, it's an immune tonic, and you get the benefits of the apple cider vinegar as well. So you can get recipes for specific, you know, fire tonics. It might be called fire cider, fire tonic, dragon fire, winter tonic. There's lots of recipes online for it, but I love to use it and I love to recommend it. And if you don't like to take it straight, like I said, you can use it as a salad dressing or use it in recipes for other things, or you can dilute it with water. But if you like things like onions and garlic and pepper, you might enjoy it. It's really a nice thing. So I think Ron's got something over there.
And we're gonna jump back just a hair here from what we were discussing earlier about the Women's March.
Okay.
I just got a phone call from Cassandra Marcino, and she is in Willimantic, listens to us
Cassandra
all the time.
I marched with Laura.
And she is the statewide she's one of the statewide organizers for the March on Washington.
I marched with her wife. That's so cool.
Yay. So
did she
anyway,
say that?
She didn't mention that, but she did mention that she was really happy that we were talking about this, and she would like to be to go further and talk on the show at some time.
Hi, Laura.
So
hi, Adrian. Hi, Cassandra. Nice to meet you.
I told her to send you an email, and we'll organize that for another time. And then she mentioned something about We March on a Facebook page that you might want to check out, too. So anyway, that was just Cassandra calling and checking in and, you know, thanking us for the shows and our support.
Yeah.
So I just thought that we should say something.
I marched with Laura and Adrian.
Yeah.
That's her wife and her daughter.
Okay.
How cool is that?
That's very cool.
Yeah.
It's a cool thing.
I know.
So anyway, moving on. You can go back to where you were. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt that, but...
Well, I did a whole little segment on apple cider vinegar and fire cider. So I think I can move on.
Okay. Well, I have a couple of notes here from previous shows, too.
Oh.
If there's anything that's not on your list over there, because I know you have a very involved list.
I totally have things. Oh, that's right. Last week, somebody had called about goji, noni, and mangosteen.
Yes, and I have that on my list. Yes, I believe that was Alan from Lebanon, calling.
Okay.
And asking about that. It's either that or Alan from Lebanon was calling about apricots versus berries, which is another thing that I have on there.
Apricots versus berries.
Yeah, the benefits, qualities, whatever, of apricots versus berries, because we know that berries are all very, very good for you. And there was a question about that, too. So those were two things that I had on my list were the goji and the noni and the mangosteen.
Yes. So here's the, all right. So let me tell you.
And then I had another note here about carisoprodol.
Carisoprodol. Yeah, it's
carisoprodol. That's it.
Yeah, carisoprodol is a, that's a,
Did we talk about that last week at all?
I think so. There was a
because
question
there was
about
a blood sugar issue on, and that was related to it.
I'm not sure.
It caused someone's blood sugar to rise,
and I think I couldn't find anything on that.
Right.
But again, anything can cause. This is one of the things I tell people, because a lot of times people will go to their doctors and they'll say, "This drug or this item or this thing is causing this symptom in me," and the doctor will look at them and say, "No, it's not. It can't do that."
Right. Well, you know.
I never generalize, but...
Never generalize.
I never generalize.
Right.
However, I like to think that I never say to a patient, that can't cause that. I might say, it's unlikely to have caused that, but, and here's the kicker, anything can cause anything in anyone. I think that's a Fran original.
Okay.
Anything can cause anything in anyone. Because people have biochemical individuality. If you accept that people have biochemical individuality... Anything can cause anything in anyone. So
you
if you're like, I did not have diarrhea. Today, I took a bunch of magnesium carbonate. And now I have diarrhea. Well, gee. Well, actually, too much magnesium can cause diarrhea. But all right. Well, let's just say this. So today, I had an upset stomach. So I decided to drink a bunch of ginger tea. And ginger tea usually settles someone's stomach. But after I drank the ginger tea, I felt a lot worse. And so I didn't drink any ginger tea. And the next day, I kind of felt better. But I'm like, you know, I wanted to give this ginger tea another try. So I drank some more ginger tea, And all of a sudden, my stomach hurt again. I'm like, well, it's cause and effect. I don't care if most of the world feels better when they drink ginger tea. When you drink ginger tea, you feel worse. So you probably, your biochemistry doesn't agree with the ginger. And sometimes it's something that's obvious. And sometimes it's just, you know, you have, there's a protein in the ginger. There's an antigen in the ginger or a lectin in the ginger that causes an inflammatory response in you. And why judge that? And why look at someone like they don't know their body, they don't know what they're talking about? Why not honor where a person is coming from? So it's true, anything can cause anything in anyone.
It's like what I used to tell my son.
What?
Open your mind, your brains won't fall out.
Yeah. That's good. I like that.
You like that?
That's pretty funny.
That is pretty funny.
So we're asking about these three fruits. So why would this person be asking about these three particular fruits? I'll tell you. There's things that the three fruits have in common. They are exotic. They are grown in faraway places. So, for example, the mangosteen is grown in Indonesia. The goji berries are beautiful. Now, where are the goji berries? Goji berries are popular in China, and they're grown in China as well. And the noni is another tropical fruit, not something you would see growing in the U.S. Well, it would be grown. You could grow it in the U.S. You'd have to grow it in subtropical or tropical places. So I'm not sure exactly where the noni fruit is grown. And that would be something nice to find out. Where is the noni fruit grown? It's tropical. So one of the things that's cool about these plants, oh, by the way, the noni is in the coffee family, with the same family as coffee, in the coffee family. It's a Rubiaceae. And so it grows in Southeast Asia and Australasia. So there you go. So all three of these have in common that they are exotic. The other thing that they have in common is that they're that they are multi-level marketed. People market products made by them from multi-level marketing companies. Here's this great tonic that's going to fix everything. So that's another thing that they have in common. So you'll go online, you'll be looking for something to improve your overall health, and you'll find that all these wonderful. You'll find all of these wonderful anecdotal experiences of people having great health results with these things. So now, how do I feel about that? I don't generally believe in the panacea. I would say that the closest thing that I know of to a panacea is turmeric. I really have a lot of respect for turmeric. And note that turmeric isn't multi-level marketed. You can buy, because you can go a long way just by buying turmeric powder, a good quality organic turmeric powder or turmeric root at the health food store at the supermarket. If you take turmeric and you cook it in your food along with black pepper, you're going to get both digestive anti-inflammatory benefits as well as in anti-inflammatory benefits in the rest of your body. So you can just buy, powdered good quality turmeric and eat it in your food, mix it with black pepper, and you're going to get some health benefits from that. And then if you make a nice tea, like you made that wonderful tea for us while I'm, trying to get over this bronchitis, and you mix the ginger and the turmeric. Did you put black pepper in it?
In the tea?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I should have told you to do that. Okay,
no,
so next
didn't
time
do
you,
that.
Next time you need to put black pepper in.
Okay.
Yeah, and the reason you put the black pepper in is because the bioperine extract in the black pepper helps to enhance the absorption of the turmeric. Yes.
Didn't know that.
So if you have ginger, turmeric, black pepper, and you put cinnamon in as well, then you throw in a bag of Assam, you basically have chai, except that it has turmeric, and you don't usually put turmeric in chai, but that's okay. It's chai with turmeric. Anyway, so um, So turmeric is something. Now, turmeric doesn't grow here. That's something that also has to grow in tropical and subtropical places because it's related to the ginger root. And ginger root and turmeric look similar if you look at them, except the turmeric is smaller and it's the lumen of the little pieces that come off out of the root are smaller than the ginger root. And then if you cut into it, of course, it's that brilliant golden yellow color. Anyway, so
it's great. That was really good tea.
Really good tea.
And we have a lot of it.
You can keep making it because we kind of need it.
Well, you know, I get up in the morning now and that's what I have. I have a cup of ginger tea with a little honey in it. And
nice.
It's really
delicious.
Really great way to start your day.
It's really good for you. It's great. And again, that's a great anti-inflammatory. It's anti-inflammatory to the digestive system where you're having that weirdy digestive thing going on. So it was a very good thing for you to be continuing to consume. And ginger is also anti-inflammatory to the rest of your body. So it's great for your respiratory. I mean, we were having it partially for our respiratory stuff because I had this ongoing cough. And strong ginger tea. Ginger is a great thing to help with bronchitis. So if you've got bronchitis, that's a great thing to have. It's also great for your joints. So it doesn't matter where the inflammation is. Ginger is great for all that. Not that combination that you made is really good for that.
And it tastes great.
If you like the taste of ginger. Mm-hmm. So anyway, these guys, these different fruits here. So the noni fruit, also known as Morinda citrifolia, is like I said, it's multi-level marketed. It's often called, it can be also called grape Morinda, Indian mulberry, beach mulberry, and cheese fruit. So I guess if you have cheese fruit and breadfruit, then you can have a grilled cheese sandwich. Anyway, it's a Rubiaceae, which is in the same family as the coffee plant. It's also called starvation fruit. It has a strong smell and bitter taste. So if you ever get to have noni, it doesn't taste wonderful. It's eaten as a famine food in some specific islands, and then some places they have it as a staple food. It does have a lot of nutrition in it. It has some, so the fruit pulp are in the, they have some nutrients, but there is vitamin C, niacin, B and potassium, and so that's what I'm not sure. There's so it does have a bunch of vitamin C that's nice and absorbable, but it also has some phytochemicals in it. It has some lignans like flaxseed does. It has some flavonoids, in iridoids. So it has a bunch of things in it that are going to be anti-inflammatory and immune modulating. It has beta cytosterol in it, which is immune modulating, as is catechin, which is also in it. It has certain alkaloids. So medicinally, the fruit and the leaves are used, and there are companies that extract the noni fruit and they use it. They sell it as an immune tonic and a general panacea. Does it work really well? I think if it worked fabulously, everybody would be using it. And yet there are people who buy it and buy it from these multi-level companies, and they have lots of good stories to tell. So it does have antioxidant benefits and immune tonifying benefits. And if it works for you, it's fine. So that's noni. And like I said, I've had some patients who use noni and they really like what it's done for them. Not tons, but yeah. And then purple mangosteen is another one. Mangosteen is not a mango. It's something else. It's Garcinia. It's in the Garcinia genus, which is the same genus as that Garcinia cambogia, which is used as a weight reduction fruit. So the mangosteen, it's a tropical evergreen, and it, again, that's from Indonesia, and it does grow in Southeast Asia, and it also grows in Puerto Rico and Florida. So, well, it was introduced in Puerto Rico and Florida. So it grows in subtropical regions, which is Puerto Rico and Florida. I'm pretty sure Puerto Rico does dip into the tropics. Yeah, Puerto Rico has to be in the tropics because Key West is in the tropics. So most of Florida is subtropical, but the Tropic of Cancer goes through the Florida Keys. So anything south of the Florida Keys is actually tropical. Anyway, so there's a purple mangosteen and the plain mangosteen. And you know, it grows in those places that I mentioned, and people use it for, you know, people use it medicinally, and it does this. So unlike the noni, which is wicked bitter, like if you ever have noni juice, it doesn't taste that great. Mangosteen actually is pretty mild and it doesn't taste too bad. Again, it doesn't have, it's not that nutritious to just sit and eat a mangosteen. But again, people use it medicinally. And again, it has the peel has xanthanoids, like mangosteen and other phytochemicals. So it is going to have some antioxidant capabilities. And they do sell it at markets, and it still is. And like I said, it's a something that's multi-level marketed to have a lot of different, to have panacea properties. And I'm not 100% convinced, but then people use it for skin infections, wounds, for digestive infections, urinary tract infections, and they use it as a general tonic, just like some of these other things. So I'm not that excited about it because I think what I'm going to say about all this. And then there's the goji. Now, I have a very different feeling about the goji berry. Because
you like goji berries.
I love goji berries. They're my friends. They're really pretty and they're really cute.
That's important.
Yeah. So now the goji berry is a little different because I don't know if it's how tropical it is where goji berries are grown. I'm not sure if that's because they look like, because they're a tiny berry, usually tiny berries can grow in temperate zones. So the goji, yeah. Yeah. Yes?
Hmm. Yeah, they are. I think they are tropical.
Also known as the wolfberry or Lycium barbarum or Lycium chinense. And they're grown in China, and it says North Central China, which...
That's cold.
I would say...
Isn't it? Is it North Central
that it's
cold?
Grown in the floodplains of the Yellow River. And so I would say that it can be grown in temperate zones, which makes me wonder if it can be grown, you know, far north. During the first decade of the 21st century, farmers in Canada and the U.S. began cultivating goji as commercial scale to meet potential markets. So, yeah, so it can, there you go. It can
originated
be grown
in Asia. Yeah.
Yes. So it can be grown in temperate climates. If it can be grown in Canada, it's a berry.
It's
very different. It's very different from the mangosteen and the noni because those are tropical fruits. So the goji berry, it's a berry, and it happens to have started in China, but it can be grown here because it is a berry. The thing, well, if you look at it, it's a tiny little berry. Berries grow. Not only do berries tend to grow in temperate zones, but they grow in places that are cold because if you're a berry, you don't need a long growing season.
It's also known as the wolf berry.
Yes, that's right. Hmm. That's correct.
Yeah.
It's called goji because it's in pinyin, it's guji. Guji. I think that's how you say it. Somebody who speaks Mandarin, please let me know. It is a nightshade. So it's in the same family as
nightshade.
Yes, it's a nightshade.
I don't know.
Same family as the potato, tomato, eggplant, belladonna, chili peppers. And I didn't realize tobacco is also a nightshade.
Okay.
So it's in the nightshade family. And it looks like a nightshade. It looks kind of like, if you look at the plant, it looks kind of like that. It's like a teeny weeny little tomato, except that it's a berry. And so one of the things I like about it that's different from the mangosteen and the noni is that mangosteens and nonis cannot grow in this region, whereas the goji berry can. We could grow nonis in our yard. Not nonis. We can grow goji berries in our yard, probably.
Yeah, I wonder where we get the plants. That'd be interesting.
It would be nice. Hmm. And I find them delicious. I don't know if everybody would like them, but I really like them. You can use them as a fruit. They sell them dried at most health food stores. You can buy them in bulk. And they're really high in antioxidants, so they're really nice. And I think, they're higher, this bright red, orange red ellipsoid berry, and it depends on what you're growing. And, you know, they have a lot of antioxidants in them. They're usually cooked before consumption. They're often added to rice congee and almond jelly and in Chinese tonic soups. And I put them in my oatmeal. and around here, you know, people use them just as a fruit because they make a really nice dried fruit. They're a nice addition to your trail mix. And you can use them where you would use a raisin. So you could, instead of making oatmeal raisin cookies, you can make oatmeal goji berry cookies.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes I put them in your salad.
Yeah, they're really good that way too. Mm-hmm. They're really nice. And so they come dried. You can you can rehydrate them if you like and eat them that way. And the thing is they're very pleasant tasting. They're not bitter. They're kind of sweet, and they have a slight, what I'd call a woody note. But they're not bitter at all. And you could sit and eat them as a snack all by themselves. And I think the big thing is that they're high in antioxidants. They're used in Chinese medicine as a general tonic. You know, outside of Asia, they're sold as the dried berries. They're used in granola bars, in yogurt products. They're used in green tea. You can also get the juice concentrate, and the juice concentrate is going to have a lot of antioxidants in it.
Boy, so. Interesting here. It says stay away from, be really careful about the ones you buy from China because they're, listen to this. Most goji berries come from China where they're often treated with chemicals that have been long banned in the U.S.
Oh.
And they can turn an incredibly healthy food into something toxic. So you can grow them yourself. And the growing zone is 5 through 9 here in the U.S., which is most of the United States. You can grow goji berries.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. So, and goji berries are now being grown in the United States. So one of the things I'm going to say is one of the reasons that people get these fruits, all these different interesting fruits, the goji berries and so goji berries, I'm a fan. I'm not saying you should eat tons of goji berries every single day, but if you are an eater of berries to get your antioxidants, you can certainly add them to your array of berries. And one of the things to remember is you can buy these incredible multi-level marketed products, but you have to remember that there are things that are grown in the United States that are grown locally that have wonderful antioxidant benefits, and you don't have to spend a lot of money on a multi-level marketed product. You can just go to the grocery store, especially, you know, and get organic stuff. But blueberries that grow in Mansfield or Lebanon or Pomfret are really high in antioxidants. Wild blueberries, you know, wild Maine blueberries are somewhat higher in antioxidants than the European blueberries, very simply because they're tiny. And so when you eat, so if you have 3 blueberries that take up the space of 1 blueberry, so 1 European blueberry maybe has a diameter of, let's say, 2 centimeters, 1 Maine blueberry has a diameter of 0.5 centimeter, you could fit 2 to 4 berries inside of one of those berries. What do you have more of? Skin. What's in the skin? More antioxidants. So you're going to get more antioxidant benefit from those little tiny wild blueberries than you will from the high bush blueberries. Not that you won't get them from the high bush blueberries. If you don't have access to the baby blueberries, by all means, it's a good idea to get the high bush blueberries. Also other things that will grow right in your backyard. Blackberries, raspberries, strawberries. Somebody said to me, strawberry isn't really a berry. I don't know, because they're all roses. I think that all the berries, all those, you know, berries are in the Rosaceae family. So the raspberry, let me make sure I'm not lying about that. What family is the raspberry in? It's a Rosaceae. And blueberries are not a Rosaceae. They're an Ericaceae. They're a heather. So, you know, the moors of where Heathcliff and Catherine would yell on the moors of Yorkshire, the Yorkshire Moors. The Yorkshire Moors, those big old hilly meadows, they're covered in heather. So heather is, you know, it's like a ground cover. And blueberries and huckleberries and things related to them, bilberry, they're all in the Ericaceae family. They're heathers. Whereas your strawberries and your raspberries and your blackberries are roses. They're in the same family as roses, and they have lovely antioxidant properties.
Yes.
Yeah. So I just want to remind you, if you're looking for tonics and with that have lots of antioxidants, you don't necessarily have to buy a multi-level marketed. Nothing yet. Now, if you buy Noni or you're selling Noni, I don't want to diss you. It's okay. If you're having great results with it, that's terrific. I don't tend to recommend those because they're harder to come by. They tend to be more expensive. And you can get wonderful benefits just by eating. Like this time of year, you can buy frozen organic berries and add them to your oatmeal or make a crisp with them. Your crisp can be paleo or not paleo. You can just heat them up and eat them and sprinkle nuts on them and have a fruit compote. And you'll get wonderful antioxidants from those. And during the season, of course, you can pick them and get them fresh. You can also go down to Florida and Plantsville, Florida. They grow strawberries, strawberry season. I'm not sure if the strawberry season is over yet, but it was not over when I was there in December and early January. They were growing lots and lots of strawberries in Florida. And so when I go to Florida that time of year, or even, you know, they'll send the strawberries up and you can get Florida strawberries in December. It's kind of a weird thing, but I always enjoy Florida strawberries this time of year because of Plantsville.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, Plantsville, Florida. They grow... Okay. They grow strawberries. So the thing is, I want to remind you that you can get just good old berries and have lots of antioxidants. I do encourage people, if you're not sensitive to citrus and if you're not a strict macrobiotic person. So the whole principle of macrobiotics is you're going to eat things locally and in season. And the thing is, that's hard to do this time of year because
very hard to do.
There's nothing local and in season now. So we have world commerce. So we eat things from other places. So if you're a person who can handle, so there's a controversy about citrus. You want to talk about that? So here's the thing about citrus.
No, but do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. So here's the controversy about citrus. Macrobiotically, they don't work for this climate ever. So meaning that they can't, you can't grow them here. So
we don't grow them up here.
So technically you shouldn't be eating them. So what I say to that, yes. Yeah. If you believe in that, if you believe you should only eat things that are grown locally and in season, you can't eat citrus.
So you should only eat what's grown in your region or
yes.
able to be grown in your
right.
region? Really?
If we were paleo people, would we be eating lemons if we lived here?
Oh, I guess not.
No.
No.
No, we'd be eating blackberries and strawberries and raspberries and the things that grow in the power
wow.
lines. There wouldn't be power lines.
So why does that make a difference?
Because the idea is that if you have a fruit that's growing in the environment that you're in, it's thriving in the environment that you're in. The nutrients that it produces... The nutrients that it produces are healthful for the environment that you're in. And something that grows somewhere else may not have things that are as healthful for you in the environment that that they are grown in. So what I say, you know, I am not strict about that sort of thing. And I say if you're a person who you can eat oranges and lemons and you feel good when you eat them, you should eat them. Especially lemons. Lemons are very low in sugar and they have wonderful antioxidant properties and they're really great for clearing mucus. They're astringent and antimicrobial and they smell wonderful. So I don't tell people not to eat those even though they are a tropical fruit. So my thing is, if it works for you, you should do it. If it doesn't work for you, you shouldn't do it. And one of the things I say about citrus this time of year is it is in season. And I must say it is very much in season. In Florida, I'm going to go back to see my mom at the end of February, so we'll see where her trees are at. She has a Meyer lemon tree and an orange tree in her yard, and they're these ridiculously juicy oranges that just, like, spill juice into your plate when you cut them open. I felt like I was in heaven. I just go outside for my breakfast. I pick an orange off the tree. I cut it open, and I eat it. That's the best. That's so awesome. That was a good orange. So, of course, I was down there. It's entirely appropriate to eat it. But if you eat it up here, even though it doesn't grow here, it's in season. And so shipping it from Florida to Connecticut, to me, is not such a big deal. You're not going to have too much nutrition taken off it from that level of shipping. And you can get some health benefits from it because you are going to get a very absorbable source of vitamin C. And also the pith. the white stuff that holds the orange together.
The pith.
The pith.
I like that, pith.
That white stuff that holds the orange together. And
okay.
When you have rind.
Right.
That's that white
stuff
in the rind.
It's on the kind of between the skin and the actual, the fruit itself.
It's where all the bioflavonoids are.
Mm.
It's where all the wonderful antioxidant immune modulating bioflavonoids are. So if you're looking to tighten up your hemorrhoids, good thing to have. Yeah. So very absorbable source of vitamin C. You know that vitamin C is wonderful for strengthening your immune system, helping your white blood cells to grow, to work at a more efficient level. They are, you know, vitamin C strengthens the collagen inside your respiratory passages, so you are less likely to get sick. Also, it strengthens the collagen everywhere in your body. So if you have joint stuff, tendon stuff, one of the things to remember is that you need to have vitamin C for all that stuff. So anyway, if you want to, I don't have a problem with people dabbling in these mangosteen and noni, which are tropical fruits, and they're multi-level marketed, and you can try them and see if they have health benefits for you. I am a fan of the goji berry because I think it's high in antioxidants, and it's something that can grow here and can be a nice addition to the other berries that have been grown here for centuries, and also things like apples and pears, which you can't forget, have a lot of flavonoids in them. I think people forget to eat fruit as a snack, that they're too busy eating their starch and sugar and their, you know, takeout coffee, and they forget you could have an apple. It's good for you. All right? So anyway.
Yeah.
So there you go. So you got some good information today about apple cider vinegar and fire cider and these exotic fruits. So I hope that was helpful for you. And we would love to hear from you. You can call us at some point at 860-486-9487. Do write me at radionaturopath@gmail.com and tell me what you thought. And we will answer your questions next week on Radio Naturopath. And by the way, you can write to radionaturopath@gmail.com at any time, and I will answer your question on the air. You can listen to us on podcast at whus.org, as well as franstorchnd.com, and on my Facebook page, franstorchnd, Radio Naturopath, and Naturopathic Physician. All right, so we'll be back next week with more Radio Naturopath here on 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores.